In our lesson last week, we asked the question, am I bearing fruit? And as we were looking at that idea and whether we are and what we needed to do, what God expected of us in regards to bearing fruit, we made mention of the fact that sometimes when we talk about bearing fruit, we seem to emphasize the idea of converting people. If we're not converting someone, then have I borne fruit for God? And in doing that, certainly that's something we need to be doing as Christians, but we sometimes overlook what Scripture actually describes to us as fruits of righteousness. And so that's what we want to look at this morning as we continue this idea of bearing fruit for God, some idea of what it is that we're talking about from what the Scripture says about bearing fruit. And I hope that as I was reading this morning from our Scripture reading, you began to pick up on some of the things that Scripture teaches us is the idea of bearing fruit. Because as we looked at that text in Isaiah, and certainly Isaiah is one of the prophets to Israel, we saw a contrast there. In the first five verses or so was the kind of fruit-bearing or fasting that the Israelites were doing. And basically God said, that's not what I want. Starting about verse 6 and going down through the end of the chapter, we notice God describes the kind of things He expects. Helping the needy, putting a focus on Him and on serving Him and following His laws. And so that's what we want to think about this morning as we consider this idea of bearing fruit. For we know for certain that we as Christians must bear fruit to be pleasing to God. And those who have truly devoted themselves, which I hope we all are a part of, to the Lord and to His will, are going to bear fruits that are righteous. Remember Psalm 1 and verse 3. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. What kind is that? The righteous man, the one who has nothing to do with wickedness and sin. In Proverbs we read, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 21 and verse 3. And back in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, we read, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. If we're righteous and serving the Lord, we will bear fruit. But when we talk about this idea of bearing fruit, what is it we're talking about? And as we get into that this morning, I want you to know, I've got a lot of scriptures we're going to read. I'm not going to talk a whole lot other than reading scripture because I think it's important for us to notice how often scripture talks about this idea of bearing fruit. And certainly the ones that I'm looking at are not the only scriptures that we could turn to. But when we talk about what kind of fruit we're supposed to be bearing for God, one of the places we can go to learn is in what we commonly refer to as the wisdom literature. In Psalm 15 we read, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swear to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Psalm 106 and verse 3 and 112, verse 4 through 8. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice, For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Or again, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 7, a righteous man knows the rights of the poor. A wicked man does not understand such knowledge. You see the direction that Scripture goes when it starts talking about those things that are going to bring us blessings from God, those things that are going to please God because they are the fruits of righteousness. I realize all of these don't say this is a fruit of righteousness. But we've read elsewhere where the one who bears fruit that is from righteousness is the one who is blessed by God. So when we read about blessings from God upon individuals for these things, we can understand these are the things God expects as fruit. This is what God wants of His children. To keep His laws. To help those who are in need. To consider others above Himself. To never waver from the truth. So when we start wondering, am I bearing fruit? We need to be looking, am I doing these things? Is this the image that I put forth before my God and the people that I come in contact with each and every day? As we continue to consider what Scripture says, we turn again to the prophets. In Isaiah 32, verse 16 and 17, justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. Peace and quietness is a result or fruit of righteousness. In chapter 33, verse 15 and 16, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who despises the gain of oppressions, who shakes his hands lest they hold a bribe, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking on evil, he will dwell on the heights. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. His bread will be given him, his water will be sure. And then in Ezekiel chapter 18, maybe a little more forthright than some of the things we've seen thus far. If a man is righteous and does what is just and right, if he does not eat upon the mountains or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, does not defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman in her time of menstrual impurity, does not oppress anyone, but restores to the debtor his pledge, commits no robbery, gives his bread to the hungry, and covers the naked with a garment, does not lend at interest or take any profit, withholds his hand from injustice, executes true justice between man and man, walks in my statutes and keeps my rules by acting faithfully, he is righteous. He shall surely live, declares the Lord God. Who is a righteous man? The one who doesn't do the things God says don't do, and who does give attention to the needy and to his attitude toward God and His Word. These are the fruits of righteousness. If we turn forward into the Gospels, we find a couple of examples. Certainly there are many other places we could look and find things that would fit our theme and idea this morning. But in Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." Certainly that's a familiar phrase to us. We talked about that just last week. We reference something very similar in the branches being cut off from the vine in John chapter 15. John told all of these, John the immerser, that came to him seeking baptism. He said, do things that demonstrate your repentance. And they ask him, what do we do? What then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. John said, bring forth fruits that demonstrate your repentance or in keeping with repentance. And they said, what is that? John said, help those that are in need. Don't overdo what you've been given authority to do. Don't take advantage of the position that you have. It's interesting to note, John didn't tell the soldiers they had to stop being soldiers. He told them, don't take advantage of the position of authority that you have to take more than is yours and be satisfied with what you receive. These are fruits that are in keeping with repentance, and certainly we can apply these principles to our lives today. At the very least, we fit the description of the crowds that came to him. Are we giving God the fruits he's looking for? John 13 and verse 35, Jesus told his apostles and disciples, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When we're talking about fruits of righteousness that we are to bear for God, it's not exclusively converting people to the truth. That's a part of our responsibility as Christians. But most every instance where we find God rewarding folks for the fruits they bear or talking about the kind of fruits that we ought to bear, it has to do with how we conduct ourselves towards others. How we treat God's Word in our own life. It has to do with what others can see in us. And there are examples of such in the book of Acts. Just two to consider this morning. In Acts chapter 9, we have the example of Tabitha or Dorcas. It says in verse 36, she was full of good works and acts of charity. And we read in verse 39, Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with him. You want an example of how to help those that are in need? Here's one. Dorcas made clothes for people who were in need of clothes. She was full of good works and acts of charity. She bore fruits of righteousness. I'm convinced that's not the only thing she did in bearing fruits of righteousness, but it's the thing that is noted here. We go into Acts chapter 11, verse 29 through 30, and we read of the disciples who had gathered together and were called Christians first in Antioch. They had joined together and had a body of Christians that were working together there, and one of them stood up among them, Agabus, and made mention of a dearth that was coming, a famine that was coming upon all the earth. And we read in the latter part of that reading that the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. But it doesn't stop with they determined to send relief. It says, and they did so. It wasn't enough to think we ought to help those people. The fruit of righteousness was they did help those people, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. We continue to look through the pages of the New Testament Scripture from the various writers of the epistles that we have, and we find time and time again a description of the sort of things that are the work of righteousness, are the results of righteousness, the fruits of righteousness. And I know that's a lot of scriptures up there. If you can't write that fast, There'll be a PDF copy of this on the website later. If you don't have access to that and you want to print out, I can give you the one I got here, or I can print one out for you later. Paul, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. In Romans 15, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that's in the midst of his discussion with the Roman brethren about their problems with eating of meats and observing of day. And he says, God's concerned with righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, peace and mutual upbuilding. Unity. In the Corinthian letter, you've read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 before. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. If we were to go back and look again at a passage we read there in Isaiah, there were a lot of things that the Israelites were doing that seemed to be good, but they weren't done out of love for God or love for their fellow man. They were done out of love for self. And God condemned them for it. Love has to be the motivating factor for our acts and deeds of righteousness to be bearing fruit that's pleasing to God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. To the Ephesian brethren, he said, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. When he wrote to the Philippians, he said, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. This is one of the statements about fruits of righteousness that points us in the direction of converting others, standing firm with one mind striving for the faith of the gospel, teaching others through the way we live our lives, through our unity, standing against opponents without fear, proclaiming the gospel of God to the saving of souls. To the Colossians, he says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Later in Colossians 3, we turn to this passage and think of it as putting on apparel. But note the similarity to what Paul says here, we are to put on, and the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of righteousness that we've already seen. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian brethren, he said, we ought always to give thanks to God for you brothers as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Paul saw the fruits of the righteousness of the Thessalonian brethren. And then we get to those books where he wrote to those who were to teach others. And he said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a widow be enrolled if she's not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. What are those good works? If she's brought up children, has shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work. In his second letter to Timothy, he said, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. When he wrote to Titus, he said, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They're to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Or to all of us in Titus 2 and verse 12, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's the result of the salvation that's been revealed to all. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. You see what Paul says about fruitfulness for the Lord? It has to do with how we conduct ourselves every day among our fellow men and especially among our brethren. These are the things that are the fruits of righteousness. James. In James chapter 1, we know this one. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's a fruit of righteousness. Or those are fruits of righteousness, I should say. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save it? A brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Helping those that are in need is a fruit of righteousness. It comes as a result of devoting ourselves to serving God and our fellow man, which is what righteousness teaches us to do. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Not bragging about how much I know, but just going about doing my business as I've been instructed to do. Because the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Then we turn to Peter. First Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And we're going through verse 12 because we want to make sure we get both husbands and wives. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. There's how we convert people. By them seeing the fruits of righteousness in our life, our kindness, our consistency in serving God, our desire and hope for all men to live together in Christ in peace. Don't let your adorning be external, braiding hair and putting on of gold or wear the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. God doesn't care how many braids you put in your hair. He doesn't care whether your clothes match, whether they're the color that matches your eyes. What God cares is, how does your heart show to everybody else? As a man is in his heart, so is he. That's a bad paraphrase, but that's the teaching of Christ. This is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. I want you to take note of that just a moment. We studied not too long ago that the people that Paul was writing to, he told them they were the children of Abraham when they had the faith of Abraham, not because they were born from Abraham's descendants, but when they had the faith of Abraham. Now he says, wives, you are the children of Sarah when you live like Sarah did. You do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, in the same manner, with the same sort of devotion and attitude, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel or more delicate vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers be not hindered. Wait a minute. Husbands, how you treat your wives, your relationship with your wife, as it is seen by God and everyone else, is important for your prayers to God. In other words, it's a part of the fruit of righteousness or the fruit of wickedness that would hinder God listening to our prayer. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on who? They're on the righteous, who bear such fruits as he just got through talking about. And his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we know 2 Peter chapter 1, don't we? For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because these things are fruits of righteousness. If we don't have these qualities building up within us, we're not bearing fruit for God. And lastly, what John writes for us. Because once again, John ties it all up because over and over and over in his epistles, he reminds us that all things are tied by love. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Or as we read in the letters at the beginning of the book of Revelation, I know your works, your toil, and your patience and endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. I know your works, your love, and faith, and service, and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. There's our fruits of righteousness. These passages that we've looked at this morning describe to us the kind of attitudes and actions that those who are bearing fruit for God, when others look upon them, will see them. They will be evident in all aspects of their life. The Scripture tells us that the fruits of righteousness are things that are visible in our life by those that are around us, and certainly visible to God. How we treat others, how we react to life, how we deal with temptation and sin, how we deal with the Word of God. These things are the fruit we produce when we are righteous. The question, as always, will the king be pleased with my fruit on the day of judgment? Matthew 25 again, beginning in verse 34. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry. Here's why you get in. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. The righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Lord, I don't remember doing these things for you. Maybe because they were just a normal part of your life, but look at the response. The king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. How we treat others illustrates how we treat Christ. Our attitudes of heart, our focus, whether it is on self or on God and others, determines whether we're bearing fruit for God. Let us never forget that the fruits of righteousness are love, joy, peace, kindness, caring, charity, obedience, keeping ourselves away from sin. These are the things that Scripture says are fruits of righteousness, and these are the things that will lead others to Christ, so that we might be able to teach them the will of God and they might be saved. You know, we've all heard, I suppose, at some point or another in our life, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day. Too bad. We tend to apply that more to preachers than we do to ourselves. Because God says we need to be a sermon of righteousness if we're going to bear fruit for Him. So look at yourself. Am I bearing fruit? Am I bearing fruit that is from righteousness? That is what God expects? Or am I bearing fruit that I want? Is it for God or for me? And make whatever correction is necessary. And if we can assist you in getting things right with the Lord, we can help you with confessing to the Lord your wrongs, your errors, mistakes, so that you might be free from them, cleansed and whole through praying to God and seeking forgiveness. Let us do that. Time and opportunity is yours. Come while we stand and sing for your encouragement.